We welcome everyone today on January 1st, 2017, the first day of the new year, the first Sunday of the new year, and we want to begin a series entitled Reading and Receiving the Word of God. We're going to begin today in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at the first three verses, and we want to look at the spiritual dynamic of the Word of God interacting with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. And you're going to see that there's a difference between reading and receiving the Word of God, ingesting the Word of God, taking in the Word of God, and reading the Word and not receiving it. You can read the Word from the beginning to the end. You can read all through the Word of God and not take one bit of it in. So we're going to look at the divine interaction, the results it's going to produce. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, and as newborn babes desire to drink in the sincere milk of the Word of God, that will resulting in you growing thereby, growing spiritually and gaining strength as a babe to become a child. If so be that you have already tasted or experienced that the Lord's grace has saved you." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin, and a cleansing. Father, I sin daily and I sin weekly. I confess these things to you specifically and out loud in the prayer closet. And Father, I know that if I will confess my sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses me of my sin, so please forgive me. You are right and I'm wrong. And I pray now not only to be washed by your blood, but to be changed by your Holy Spirit, that my flesh would be changed from sin to righteousness. My desires would be changed from sinful to righteousness, my thoughts, my actions, my feelings. And I also pray, Lord, for an anointing of your Spirit this day to serve the Word of God, to wash the feet of the people that are in this building and that are listening on this website. Father, let me wash their feet in a spirit of humility. Father, let me decrease as you increase, because, Lord Jesus, this message is one I need. And one we all, in every message I've ever preached, Lord, for 33 years, I've needed it more than anybody else. And that continues today. So, Father, I thank you for this great privilege. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Get me out of the way. And Holy Spirit, please teach everyone that's listening today, you know, in your own personal way. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes desire to drink in the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby." So what Peter is telling us, when we're reading the Word of God, we're to have an attitude, we're to have an expectancy that the Word of God is going to produce certain results in our lives. And one of those results is that we are going to grow spiritually. You're going to gain strength. You're going to be stronger than you were. You're going to be a more spiritually mature person. And I want you to understand something. People read the Word every day and don't profit from it. People read the Word all through the year and don't profit from it. So if results are not noticeable in your life in a spiritual manner, something's wrong. And we're going to establish that over the next 5 weeks. Something's wrong and how we are to correct it. So it's not just reading the Word of God. Notice how the Word of God's described here. Now, and you got to believe this. If you believe in the virgin birth, you can believe what I'm about to tell you. If you can believe Jesus walked on water, you can believe what I'm about to tell you. If you believe Moses parted the Red Sea, you can believe what I'm about to tell you. Notice how the Word is described. You are to take in the Word of God as the sincere milk by which you grow. So as you read the Word of God, it is to be ingested and absorbed into your heart, mind, and soul spiritually, just like drinking milk gets absorbed into your body physically. And when you drink milk, it gets absorbed into your body. The vitamins and the nutrients from milk feed your muscles, feed your organs. They can make you grow stronger. Milk can make you grow taller. Milk can mature you physically. So I want you to understand, you believe that happens, don't you? You don't see it happening. You don't even feel it happening, but it happens. You don't even notice it happening. But if you drink your milk and eat your meals and you do it for 6 months as a child, you're going to grow. And you're going to mature. You let a child be malnourished. And we see these children all over the world that are malnourished. And they don't grow. And they don't get healthy. And they don't get strength. And they get weaker and weaker and weaker. So I want you to understand that when the child of God... Notice it only works for the child of God. Look at verse 3. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious... in salvation. If so be that you have tasted salvation. In the Greek, that word is G-E-U-O. Guyo. G-E-U-O. Long O. And it means to taste or experience something. And so what Paul is telling you, what Peter is telling you there is, if so be that you have already experienced salvation. So I want you to understand what happens when you experience salvation. You get indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about is a divine interaction between the Word of God as you're taking it in as an outward source and you're ingesting it into your mind, into your emotions, into your focus. The Holy Spirit begins to do a work. And in that work, something results. What does Peter say? He says you grow spiritually. You mature spiritually. But notice verse 1. Notice verse 1. Then you will be able to lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all evils and all evil speakings, because as newborn babes you have drunk in the sincere milk of the Word of God. What does that mean? Bro Leo, what does that mean that I'm going to lay aside these things? My friend, when you grow stronger in the Spirit, you find strength to turn away from certain temptations, certain sins, certain strongholds that you've never been able to turn away from before. As you grow in the Spirit, you learn how to keep your mouth shut in a way you've never been able to keep your mouth shut before. As you grow in the Spirit, you see that bitterness will leave, malice will leave. You will be able to turn away from things that before have been a temptation. And I'm going to show you in Psalm 119 that this spiritual dynamic will work to the point that it actually changes desires in your life. There are certain sins you commit because you have a desire to commit them. They appeal to your desires. And I'm telling you, in this divine, wonderful, miraculous work of the interaction of receiving the Word of God into your spiritual system and interacting with the Holy Spirit, you will be changed. You'll have desires changed, and you'll have the strength to turn away from certain things. You'll have the strength to walk away from a fight you don't need to be in. You'll have the strength not to be led into a temptation. You'll have a temptation drop right in front of you. And for 20 years in your life, you'd have grabbed hold of it. But in this situation, you say, no, I am strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Word. And you walk right away from it and you turn away. This is the results that are produced by this interaction. And what I'm talking to you about is a spiritual discipline. And you have to develop, and the Holy Spirit will teach you how to develop this in a one-on-one way, because you have this unction. You know, that's what John tells us in 1 John. You have an anointing of the Spirit where I will teach you personally by my interaction with the Word of God and grow you thereby. And so you have the strength. So look at, I just took three verses of Scripture. And you might be sitting there right now and you might be saying, Bro Leo, I've never looked at those Scriptures that way a day in my life. I never stopped and dwelt on the word milk. Instead, the Word of God's like milk, and you ingest it and you absorb it. I never dwelt on that third verse that says you have to taste and experience salvation, that salvation is an experience. John says it's a born-again experience. Paul says the Holy Spirit comes in you, and if He hadn't done it, you hadn't been saved. I never looked at it that way. And I never tied verse 1 in there that means that as you grow, you gain strength to lay aside things that you were too weak to lay aside before. How do you get all that, Brother Leo? You just get it. You develop a discipline by which you can dwell on the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit starts bringing these things out into your mind's eye, and it's almost like they're blinking on the page, and the Spirit's saying to you, look that up in the Greek. Tie this to that. Tie that to this. Go to this verse in John, and the Holy Spirit takes over. Oh, that's because you're an anointed teacher. No, it's not. I want you to understand every child of God is being called on hearing the Word of God to be impacted by their daily time alone with God in His Word as the Word interacts with the Holy Spirit in you. And you can grow and you can be changed. And that's what makes it exciting. That's why my heart starts to race when I get up in the morning knowing I'm fixing to get alone with the Word of God and with some devotions or a David Jeremiah book or something that I'm studying or looking into. And that's why that excitement grows. And it needs to be in everybody. You know, you don't want to be the kind of Christian that says, oh, I forgot, I need to read the Word of God today. You don't need to be that kind of Christian. You need to get up in the morning saying, man, what is the Word of God going to do for me today? What is it going to do for me today? So this is what we want. We must be getting results as we read. Look at what it says. As newborn babes, desire to drink the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. A baby gets physically changed. A child doesn't look the same at 8 as they did at 2. And so we're going to get spiritually changed as we take it in. And so what's to happen, Brother Leo? There are to be results. As the Holy Spirit interacts with you. And there needs to be changes and effects, new outlooks, new attitudes, new perspective, increased joy, increased peace, increased guidance, increased confidence as you go through life. These things ought to be happening in the life of a Christian. And I want you to understand, 3 times in the New Testament, Paul calls the word milk. Peter calls the word milk. The Hebrew writer calls the word milk. You cannot grow without the milk. And I'm not just saying go through the motions. Oh, Brother Leo, I read through the Word in a year. I'd rather you take Psalm 119 and stay in that 176 verses the whole year until you dissect it and devour it and ingest it and look up the Hebrew and let it really speak to you. And so this power is taking place. So if these changes aren't taking place, something's wrong. So I want you to understand something. There's a difference between reading and receiving the Word and taking it in, and then reading the Word and not receiving it. There's a difference. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, we've got a scripture that I'm going to apply to a bunch of different things right now, and I know you'll be able to agree with me. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, the scripture says this. In the last days, go back to verse 1, in the last days there are going to be many men. Verse 2, many men. Men outside the church and men inside the church. We talk about the moral debauchery of the men outside the church, but then in verse 5, he gets down to the people in the church. And he says this, there'll be many people that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such, get away from. And then say, but Brother Leo, what do you mean there? To have a form of, but their lives deny the experience of the power of. Power is no good unless you experience it. All right? So understand that. So when he's saying they deny the power, we might be standing here today and say, well, we've got lights here in the church. Well, if we don't turn the switch on, we're not experiencing those lights. So what I want you to understand, you can have a form of Christianity, but in your life, you're not experiencing the power of Christianity. You can have a form of religion, but in your life, you're not experiencing the power of religion. You can have a form of prayer and not experience the power of prayer. You can have a form of reading the Word of God, but not be experiencing the power and the impact of the Word of God in your life. And so, well, how do I know if I'm not experiencing the power and the impact? You need to see that the Word of God's changing your life. You need to see that the Word of God is freeing you up. You need to see that the Word of God is removing things or giving you the strength to turn away from things. You know, everybody wants to depend on everything but the Word of God in today's culture. Just give me a pill. Just give me a pill. I'm discouraged. Give me a pill. The Word of God will slay discouragement. I want to promise you that the Word of God will slay discouragement and depression. You know what you replace it with? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where do you get the joy of the Lord? By ingesting the Word of God if you're already saved. If you're not saved, get saved. But we just want a pill, Brother Leo. Just give us a pill and it's going to help us. I remember when they had me on Humira. I'd never been depressed a day in my life. Now I was having to take that shot twice a month or every 15 days or so. And by the fifth or sixth day, I was depressed. And I felt terrible. And Patty started noticing. You'd go in, you'd fill out these forms. And my goal in a doctor's office is to get in and out as quick as possible. I don't want any help. I don't want to talk. And so the nurse would come in and they'd bring that thing with all the boxes. Jess, no, nothing against you fine nurses. I love all of you. But they saved my life, and I praise God for them. But what I want you to understand, they'd have a list of things. Well, I just go down there checking no. I ain't reading it. It's no. You know, one of the things was depression or suicidal thoughts or all this. Well, I'm just going down there hitting no, 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 no. And Patty looks at me, and she goes, that medicine is affecting you. It's affecting you. And after prayer and after time, we decided, you know, I'm going to get off. You know, I'm not going to have some outside thing affect me. Something that I'm ingesting physically affect me. And praise God, He has taken care of me without being on any medication since 2011. And I've asked for the wisdom of God to battle this thing that I battle. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is this, and you're going to see this next week, that not only will the Word of God, as you ingest the Word of God, you know, take care of you in certain situations, every answer to your life is in the Word of God. Every situation you're facing is within the Word of God. And every amount of wisdom that you need is in the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit interacts, look what He says. You can be reading, you can have a form of godliness, but your lifestyle, your actions, the reality of your life denies the experience of the power of God. And if you can be praying a prayer, singing a hymn, going to church, reading the Word, going in a prayer closet, studying the Word, and you can experience nothing personally. Something's wrong. There ought to be increased joy. There ought to be increased confidence in your life. There ought to be answers. You ought to be growing. You ever had prayer? I had people in pretty much every church I've ever served in. They come up and say, Brother Leo, it's nice to meet you. I just want you to know one thing. I'm so-and-so, and I have a short temper, or I say things I shouldn't, or I say what comes to my mind, or I'm this, that, and they'll make this statement. They'll say, I just want you to know, it's nothing personal. That's just how I've always been. That's just how I'm always going to be. Now, do you think that's a spiritual thing to say? That's absolutely pathetic. I want you to understand, there are a lot of things in my life, and it's the way I've always been, but I am sure not happy about them. I'm not going to make excuses for them, and I know the good Lord needs to change me, and He needs to change you too. That's just the way I've always been. You're not just saying that to me, you're saying that to Jesus. And I want you to understand, we live lifestyles claiming certain things in Christianity, and when there is no change of the bad, no increase of the good, we are denying the power thereof. So let me show you how this is accomplished. This dynamic, this divine interaction of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Go to Psalm 119. Go to Psalm 119. If you believe in the virgin birth, if you believe Jesus walked on water, for the next 3 months, you approach the Word of God in the way Psalm 119 is about to tell you. You get in the Word of God in the way Psalm 119 is about to tell you, and you will see changes. Some of them you'll notice, some of them you won't. But you'll look back 6 months and you'll say, you know, I've not even had these thoughts anymore. I used to have these thoughts all the time. They're gone. I used to have these desires all the time. They're gone. I used to have this lack of forgiveness all the time. It's gone. I used to fall into bouts of depression. It's gone. And it is the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why I appreciate, and I know we're not doing the program right now, but we're going to get it going sometime in the future. But I love the phrase, Christians in recovery. Let me tell you something. Folks will stand up and say, I'm an addict, and I'm always going to be an addict. My friend, that is not true. If God can deliver me from the pits of hell with all the sins I have committed, He can deliver me from anything. And folks just want to give stuff over and give the devil victory. Oh, I'm always going to be at this level. No, you're not. You choose to stay at this level. There are people that love to play the victim card. They love the attention of it. They love people always having to do stuff for them. My friend, it's time. You know where I fail in counseling? The folks being counseled need to turn into counselors. When you get saved, what are you to do? Stay a babe in Christ? No. You're to become a disciple of Jesus and help other people get saved. And then when they get saved, you're to help those people grow. The power, look at what it says. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Now I want to give you, what happened, Brother Leo, when you were reading that this week? Lord, stop me in my tracks. I said, that word hid, Karen, bothers me. What does that mean? Hid in my heart. In Hebrew, what does it mean to hide the word in your heart? And that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He'll do it for you. He'll stop you in your tracks. And that word in the Hebrew is S-A-P-A-N. And it means this. And I'll give you an analogy or an illustration. It means this. It means to store up in a hidden place for future use. To store up in a hidden place for future use. And it all makes sense in a moment. It means something of value that you have stored up that is going to be used for a future need. And you know what the illustration is that they give you, and I hope you never forget this. It's squirrels who gather up their acorns and their hickory nuts and their chestnut, and they hide them. They're not gathering up chestnuts because they killed all our chestnut trees. But they're getting up hickory nuts and acorns, pecans, pecans from South Carolina, and they're putting them in the hollows of trees. And they don't eat them right then because they're not hungry. But when the time comes and they're hungry, guess what? It's there. So when it's talking about hiding the word in your heart, you can study and study and study, and you can take in and digest and ingest and absorb, and these things are going on, and it may be 3 months from now, but something's going to come up in your life, and guess what? You're going to be ready for it. You're going to be strong in the Lord, and the power and the strength of the Lord through your time alone in the Word, the Lord's going to bring the Word back to your mind at that moment. Jesus said to the disciples, Don't even take thought of what you're going to say. At that moment, the Holy Spirit will bring it to you. And I want you to understand, when you get your mind and your soul and your heart built up in a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, it's a result of you spending time with that divine interaction of reading, taking in, focusing on the Word, and letting it interact with the Holy Spirit that is within you. Look at what that scripture says in verse 11. Your word have I hid or stored up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So what's the result? When you store the Word of God up in your life, what's the result on this one? Well, Brother Leo says clearly, so I won't sin. No, it doesn't say that. The Hebrew word says that you might not sin, that you may not sin, that could have been used there, or that you will not sin. We'll say, Brother Leo, what's important about that? That word deals with will, W-I-L-L, your will and your desire. What's that saying? That's saying when you store the Word of God up in your heart, number one, you become strong-willed to do the right thing instead of the wrong thing. When the temptation comes up, your will is strengthened to the point where instead of choosing yes, you choose no. Instead of choosing left, you choose right. And secondly, that I will not, I might not. Anytime you're dealing with will, you're dealing with choice and you're dealing with desire. I want to tell you something, my friend. The power of the Word of God stored up in your heart changes your desires. I've spoken with many folks who smoked cigarettes for many, many years. And, you know, they'll come up and they'll say, you know, Brother Leo, I quit smoking. I'll say, you did? And they'll say, yeah. And they say, you know, I've been quit 10 years. I don't even have a desire for one of them things. And they'll say, man, I smoke 30 of them a day. And I don't even have a desire. And a lot of times they'll credit God. You know, sometimes they'll say, you know, I prayed about it. My prayer group made it a matter of prayer. And then there are folks that'll come out and say, Brother Leo, I was an alcoholic for 20 years. And, you know, I've been clean for 20. I don't even think about it. I don't even have a desire for it. And folks will, my friend, I want you to understand, that's what this verse speaks to. God doesn't want us bound up trying to live righteously. God wants there to be a flow in our lives that results in us living righteously. You know why I don't do a lot of things? Because I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. Someone might come up to me and say, well, Brother Leo, you don't drink? Yeah, you know, you don't drink. We went to the Liberty Bowl down there in Memphis, and I was on Beale Street, and I went into this place because I hadn't eaten, and it was kind of a dive, and I got a cheeseburger before we went back to the hotel, and I was sitting there, and man that worked in there walked up. He said, do you want a drink? I said, no, sir, but I'll take some ice water if you got it. And got me some ice water and ate my cheeseburger and left. And it's not that I felt it was bad. I just didn't want it. It's easy not to do certain things if you don't want to do it. And if you'd have been sitting next to me and said you wanted a beer, that's fine with me. That'd have been okay. I sure wouldn't have condemned you in it, because I have no right to condemn somebody for doing something that I don't even want to do. You know, it's like walking into a store. You know, and there's stuff sitting there. And you're sitting there and you're saying, oh man, I can put this in my pocket and I can put that in my pocket and I can slip on it. Yeah, I'm not going to condemn somebody for doing that because I don't want to do it. Praise God, if I want it, I got $10 I can buy it with. But my friend, God wants to change our desires. He want, and the power of the Word of God will do it. Let me tell you how it does it. Psalm 119, verse 11. Look what it says. Your Word have I stored up in my heart that I will not, might not, may not sin against you. And how do you store it up? Verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That word meditate is C-Y-A-H. And it means this. It means to ponder, to think about, and to whisper. What do you mean, Brother Leo? I'm just telling you what the Word says. It means to ponder, to think about, and to whisper. And I'm just opening the book, okay? Here's that word in the Hebrew. Go to Psalm 118, verse 1. I just read this verse silently. Would you read it silently with me? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endures forever. Would you whisper that verse? Just read it out loud softly and slowly. Would you do that with me? I'll start you out. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endures forever. And then I get to a point where I'm doing it like this, because His mercy endures forever. His mercy. He is good. Give thanks. My friend, and you can walk away from that, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to be saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. You're going to be thinking about things you want to give thanks for. You want to praise God for His mercy. Maybe that day you were beating yourself up and the devil's telling you how bad you are and how much sin you commit. Well, hey, the Holy Spirit just slapped me in the face with His mercy endures forever. And the Lord is good. You want to take in certain phrases in the Word of God and take it in. Now, you know why America's in the mess it is? Well, Brother Liz, because a lot of people don't go to church. Yep, and a lot of folks that go to church aren't getting anything out of it. It's about a personal daily walk with Jesus by which you have the capability through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be taught everything you need to know without a man. Praise God. And you got to take personal responsibility for your spiritual growth and for yourself living in the will of God. Whether you're in this building or listening by the website, notice what it says here. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto thy ways. That word respect is nabat, N-A-B-A-T in the Hebrew. And it means to look at something intensely, to focus on it, and to look to something for help. To look to something, comma, for help. So you get in the Word of God where you're focusing on it because you really believe it's going to help you. You really believe it's going to help you. There are great students of the Bible that have no walk with Jesus. They don't have a depth. They don't have an intimacy. They don't experience the power and the emotion of the Word of God. You can go to a college and hear them teach or instruct. And it's as dry as it could be. But one-on-one, you and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is a dynamic experience that you can have every day. That no one can rob you of. And so we store it up and we take it in and we're strengthened to defeat temptation or to lay aside things or to walk away from. Our desires get changed. We grow in spiritual strength. We gain peace and joy. We gain guidance. We gain direction. Look at what it says in Psalm 119, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Open my eyes that I may be. That wondrous thing in the Hebrew is P-A-L-A. It means extraordinary, wonderful, and miraculous. Open my eyes that I may see it. Extraordinary, wonderful, and miraculous things in your Word. I say, well, Brother Leo, why is that important? Because every time you open the Word of God, you can read the same verse and get something else out of it. Or you can open the Word and get into something and see something you've never seen before, and you've been in that verse 100 for 20 years. You need to stop right then and say, thank you, Jesus. That's a miracle. That's powerful. That's miraculous. That's wonderful. Because it is. No other book in the world can do these things. And so that excites you. And then you end up in verse 15, I will meditate in your precepts. I will have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. As you develop this spiritual discipline, you look forward to with excitement getting alone in the Word. This time of the year is a great time of the year, but it gets me out of my spiritual rhythm. There'll be 3 or 4 days in a row, so much stuff's going on, I'm not getting alone with the Word of God. And I don't like that. And I'll have to get to the place where I get up in the morning and I'll tell Patty, I don't care what happens today, I'm going upstairs. And unless it's an emergency, I need 2 or 3 hours to get myself where I need to be in Jesus and in the Word. Or late at night, I'll just cut everything off and man, I'll get my stuff out and I write tons of stuff. I guess I journal because a lot of it never gets preached or taught. But the bottom line is I just write what the Word's speaking to me in certain ways. Not full sentences, just points that and I get excited about what the Holy Spirit's given me in the Word and what the promises are. You say, well, Brother Leo, I've never had this experience. Well, my friend, forgive me for not teaching you about it, but please don't settle for less. Because you're the priesthood of the believer. You're to be experiencing these things. Paul, Peter, and the Hebrew writer say that you need to be ingesting and absorbing the Word of God and allow it to change you and transform you. Let us close out again with 1 Peter. Just go back. And if you take it home today, I want to ask you to just read it over. And you've heard what I got out of it. I want you to see what you can get out of it. And you know what the amazing thing is? You've just listened to a guy that has spent several hours over the last 7 or 8 days studying those 3 verses. And you've heard pretty much all that he's gotten out of it. And I will bet you the farm you can get alone and get something totally different. And get something even better. Because it'll speak to you personally. 1 Peter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby to produce those results, if so be that you have experienced salvation. Let's close out with 1 John chapter 2. And this isn't in the outline, and I want to thank the Lord for getting me to the page. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, the Scripture says this, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you have the capability of knowing all things that you need to know. And in verse 27, it says, the anointing which you have received from Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, He abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit teaches you of all things and is perfect truth. See, I left out something in 1 Peter chapter 2. What kind of milk was it? Sincere milk. That word sincere, see, I left that out. Studied it, left it out. Well, Bro Leo, is that important? Yeah, it means total purity, unadulterated, perfect truth. See how powerful the Word of God is? I'm even leaving out stuff. And it's powerful. Now notice what it says. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and is perfect truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, as it teaches you, it will strengthen you to abide in Christ Jesus and in His Holy Spirit. So you want to begin 2017 feeding on the Word of God. Feeding on the Word of God. You know, it's a tradition in the Low Country of South Carolina to have physical food on New Year's Day. And I broke that tradition because they had Hoppin' John and cabbage. Not that I don't like it. Hoppin' John and cabbage. Golly, it was something else. Does anybody say turnip greens? Yeah, turnip greens. And Pat, see, you're like having the farmer's almanac right here. I love you, Patsy. If you're listening by website, that's our oldest member, Miss Patsy Pope. And she's like the farmer's almanac. But I love her. But, and people take it quite seriously. They take it quite seriously. Well, you know what our goal is? Let's begin this year feeding on the Word of God. Try to get 30 minutes today. Try to get 30 minutes today and go to those three verses and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. And then let Him take you somewhere else to where He wants to take you. And let the Word of God interact with the Holy Spirit in your heart. I'm going to ask Martha Jo to come and play something softly. And as she's playing today, I'm going to ask you to just take a few moments. Would you take a few moments in a prayer of commitment and thanksgiving? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I've started this year assembling in Your name. I'm going to feed on Your Word this year, Lord Jesus. I'm going to have a meal, a 20 or 30 minute meal a day. I may focus on one word in one verse, or I may focus on one verse in one chapter, or I may focus on one chapter. But Lord, I'm going to feed on this today. And also, would You take a few moments thanking Jesus? Let the Holy Spirit remind you of some wonderful things God has done for you in 2016. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments praying in this new year.